Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's up?
This is a stupid party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you die. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today.
Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Good morning, good morning, good morning on this February the 12th, 2024, where we're asking God for a whole lot more. Oh, yeah. And boy, do we have a show for you. We always have a wonderful show for you. We talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And at this point in the game, we can't fall for nothing. Good morning, Money Baby. How are you? Good morning, Darlene Anderson. Good morning. How are you? Everybody on Facebook Live, good morning. How are you? If you want to call into the show and talk, you just dial 646-787-8064 and press 1. 646-787-8064 and press 1. And, of course, you'll be on the show live. That'll be not a problem at all. If you have a question or a statement or a prayer or whatever you might have in order, you feel free to come right on through. If you want to get us on blogtalkradio.com, you go to blogtalkradio.com. Blogtalkradio.com. On the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions with an S, and you'll be in. Again, yes. Good morning, good morning, Chandra. Is that Chandra Daniels, or is that one of my cousins from Texas? Amen. Praise God for you. Thank you for joining us this morning. If you want to, on the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions with an S, and that will bring you right to blogtalkradio.com, and you'll see the show, hear the show. Now, if you want to see me like you do right now on Instagram or Facebook, Instagram Live and Facebook Live, it's Eddie Justice Jones Jr. Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Instagram Live or Facebook Live right now. And before we start, I want to give you guys a hand. I want to give you a hand for joining us this morning. Let's make sure I got it right. Thank you for joining us this morning. There are some things that transpired over the weekend, and let me tell you something. We have been, for 4 weeks straight, 4 Mondays in a row, we've been talking about the illegal immigrants that are overflowing the United States of America. Everybody's saying, what is the plan? What is the plan? Oh, it is Chandra Daniels. Good morning, Chandra Daniels. Good morning, Pastor Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on the Magnificent Monday. Thank you, the Lord, for walking, waking us up to a brand new day and a brand new mercy. Amen, amen, amen. Where would we be without God? Yes. Where would we be without God's blessings and grace? We wouldn't, I don't know where we would be. If you didn't hear my sermon yesterday, it's archived. My sermon yesterday was, if we're obedient to God, he will bless us. If we abide in God, he will bless us. If we stay with God, he will bless us. Now, when we start walking with the devil, nothing's guaranteed. But I can tell you what is guaranteed, failure, destruction, and murder. Because the devil, his job is to steal, kill, and divide. That's what his job is. And that's what he will do. He will steal your joy. He will kill your joy. And then he'll kill you and steal your soul. And that's what he'll do. And let me tell you something. If you're with God, you don't have to worry about it. Without God, we are lost. Yes, that's right, Sister Chandra Daniels. Without God, we're just completely lost. So go back on my sermon yesterday, which was Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 11 through 16. Write that down real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 11 through 16. And you'll see what I was talking about. And just really briefly, I'll just say this. When Pharaoh was told by Moses to let his people go, and Pharaoh didn't want to do it, what happened? God turned the water into blood. God sent locusts to destroy all the crops. And then after that, God sent frogs and snakes and any reptile you can think of into his kingdom. Amen. Hey, Evangelist Moni Scott, thank you so much for joining us. And then on top of that, last but not least, Moses told him to let him free, and Pharaoh said no. So God destroyed every firstborn son, including Pharaoh's son, was dead too. After that, Pharaoh's like, come and get these people. And the rest is history. And God told his people that were free, I will not put those terrible things on you that I put on Pharaoh and the people of Egypt, because they were not. They were keeping you guys enslaved, and that's why he did it. So what I'm saying to you, you can be enslaved by demons and by the devil and don't even know it. And then God will come and set you free, and you'll go right back to the trap because you don't know any better. You got to do better when you know better. Amen. Praise God. Hey, Sister Gloria, good morning. How are you this morning? Thank you for joining us, and thank you for joining the church last night. And I really had a good time. And, okay, let me be very honest with you. Okay, yes, yes, it was Super Bowl Sunday. All right, all right, all right. All you KC fans out there, kudos for you. But let me tell you who came in second place. My team, the San Francisco 49ers, came in second place. So don't worry about it. It's okay. We'll get over it. There's always next year. And next year we'll see it all over again. But we'll do that during the sports report with Cousin V. We're going to have Vera Jones with Health and Wellness. We're going to have Kalana Jones with Words of Wisdom. We're going to have Clarence M. Allen with Regulate the Manual. We're going to have a commentary with Professor Reams. We have a lot of great segments on our show. We're going to have Poetry in Motion with Linda Govey. And I say it again, Words of Wisdom with Talana Jones. So we're going to have a lot on the show. And don't forget mental health and you, because a lot of people have mental health issues out there and they're not getting any help. So we're going to have Mental Health and You, which is a regular segment on our show. And it helps people who have mental issues that they're dealing with and they don't know how to deal with it and who to talk to deal with it. We talk about that on our show. It's the real deal, Holyfield. There's no smoking guns. We tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And if you've never watched my show before and this is your first time, God bless you. I hope you get educated, knowledgeable, wisdom. And hey. All right. Ida Jordan, what's up, Ida? How are you? Dorsey High School in the house. Amen. And I want to send a shout out to my boy Virgil from Dorsey High School. I want to send a shout out to Dorsey's, all the achieving things that they're achieving now. Shout out to Dorsey High. Without further ado, I want to get some of our people into this, our co-producers in the studio. Let's start off, ladies first, with Vera Jones. Good morning, Vera Jones. How are you, sis? How's everything going? Welcome.
Good morning, Eddie. Good morning to all the co-hosts and every listener. I am doing wonderful. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you very much for asking. It's a beautiful day in our neighborhood.
Yes.
And without further ado, let's get Clarence M. Allen in the studio. Good morning, Brother Clarence M. Allen. How are you on this wonderful Monday?
Good morning, Pastor Eddie. Good morning, Dr. Granny V. Good morning to all the co-panelists who are coming on. But especially good morning to all our wonderful listeners and followers throughout the state, nation, and even around the world. Once again, Pastor Eddie, we are blessed to be on the world's greatest Monday morning radio show, the Eddie Justice Jones Jr. radio show. Pastor Eddie, I'm seated down, buckled in, I'm ready to ride, let's roll. You got these hot button topics that we all need to discuss and know. Thank you for having me.
Hey, man, all right. Hey, Vera, say hi to Clarence. Clarence, say hi to Vera.
Regulate Clarence.
And without further ado, none other than, let's bring in Professor Reams, our co-producer. Good morning, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, thank you very much, Pastor Jones. I am doing just fine. Wonderful, wonderful Monday and in our neighborhood. And also to everyone, to the Best Block Talk Radio program on Monday, so that we can talk about these hot-button topics and identify how God is blessing us in light of all the things that the world throws at us. And to I want to say my good morning to the regulator and to, of course, the incomparable Dr. Granny V, because the doctor's in the house.
Amen.
Good morning.
Pastor Reams, good morning.
All right. Good morning.
Hey, Brother Clarence, can you give Talana a call or a text and see where she's at? And also Aretha Adams-Jones and Cousin V, thank you very much. And moving right along. Okay, you guys, I got some stuff that happened over the weekend that I was really fired up and upset about. As you know, people are starting to attack the church, and the church is being attacked on an all-time high. Well, yesterday at church, at Joel Osteen's church to be exact, a woman came in there with a long trench coat on, a five-year-old son, and a shotgun in her jacket. She shot two people. Then she was shot and killed. And the five-year-old boy is in critical condition and not expecting to live, because when they had to kill her, they ended up shooting the five-year-old boy too. Luckily, at Joel Osteen's church, which as you know is a big mega church, they were just getting ready to start service. And normally, because I've been to his church before when I was in Texas with my cousin Veronica, Cousin V, and we went to T.D. Jakes. I was invited to T.D. Jakes' church and Joel Osteen's church. So I ended up going to both churches while I was there. and I got the red carpet treatment and all that good stuff. And thank you, Mr. T.D. Jakes and Pastor T.D. Jakes and Pastor Osteen, both. But I was shocked. And let me tell you what's going on, you guys. The churches are going to continue to be attacked because the devil is busy sending out negative messages to hurt the church, to kill the church. And the reason why they're allowing all these illegal immigrants to come into America, because this is a big old political scheme. And we're going to get into that in just a little bit. But right now, a female shooter opened fire on Sunday afternoon at Pastor Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church in Houston, which has one of the nation's largest congregations. She was fatally shot by off-duty officers. No one else at the church died. Now, no one else died, but they were shot. One man was shot and wounded, and somebody else was shot. And then, of course, the baby was shot. And then the mother, who came in there angry about whatever, was killed. Now, a lot of people are being turned into witches and warlocks these days. They have witchery that's going on, and if you don't know about it, you need to catch up on it because it's real. And I've never seen, normally you just hear that certain races are becoming witches, but no, it's the Latino race, the black race, and the white race are all practicing these demonic things, and they even have demonic churches now where you can go to church and serve the devil. So I'm not surprised that somebody's going to come into church at the beginning of service when there's, I mean, people start stampeding and running everywhere. Can you imagine what it was like for thousands of people who were sitting in church to get up and start getting under the chairs and running through the aisles, and you don't know who's who and who's doing what? Okay, so this bothered me very much, and I really want to get it really quick just from each person on the show how they feel about what happened, and then we're going to talk about some more news in just a minute. Oh, yeah, let's go to, you know, I'm going to tell you about the weather in a minute, okay? But before I tell you about the weather and what's going on for the week up, because it's been raining, cats and dogs and a few cows and camels, too. So it's been raining a lot. But before we do that, let's go to Clarence and Mallon. Clarence and Mallon, give us a quick snippet. How do you feel about the woman going into the church, shooting up at Joel Osteen's church? You think she was infatuated with Joel Osteen? Do you think she got tired of seeing him smiling? Everything's going to be just fine no matter what happens. Or what do you feel? Go right ahead.
Well, to all our listeners and panelists, we continue to live in troubled times. We have people who have troubled minds and living troubled lives. And so as hatred continues to be the powerful point of the choices that some make in this life that we live, we have those who choose to go into one of the safest places that we, or many of us, believe to go and be to give honor and glory and worship God. So not knowing what was in her mind, what brought her to this point in time of her life to choose to go into a place of worship to commit violent acts, to take lives. We all have to beware and be aware of our surroundings, regardless where we're at. It's just a shame to hear.
All right. Thank you, Brother Clarence. I appreciate that, man. Let's give Clarence a hand. Vera Jones, please take the floor. Give us your take on what happened yesterday at Joel Osteen's church. Why do you think there's been an increase on robbing and shootings at churches? I mean, it's been getting out of control. Go right ahead, Vera. Take the floor, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V.
Well, Eddie, first of all, I'm really saddened to hear that because I can recall back in the 80s, there was a movie that took place. And that's exactly what happened. Mentally, we don't know what was going on, but it's really sad that she brought that to the house of worship. And now it doesn't matter where you are. You could be in your own home or, like, at church. But special prayers for the little boy that shot, and may he heal and regain love and faith in his heart, because I know he's going to be going through a lot of trauma, perhaps for a lot of his life. And my prayers are going out to the Joel Osteen family and the entire congregation.
All right. Thank you so much, Vera. Thank you, Vera. Appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you so much. I want to go to Professor Reams. Professor Reams, take the floor. Give us your take on these shootings that have been happening at churches. As a matter of fact, there was a pastor who was murdered just a couple of weeks ago coming out of his church. He was an African-American pastor coming out of his church. Somebody came up to him, and they just shot him and killed him for no reason that I can think of, unless they were trying to rob him and he didn't have his money. But go right ahead. What do you think about the shooting at Joel Osteen's church yesterday?
Well, again, I agree with the panel. This is very tragic, but we're looking at a situation where the church represents as so much power, so much influence, that it doesn't surprise me that when we're in this civil war between the good and the bad spirits, that our spirits are conflicting with each other. Yes, we can talk about the mental state of the person, but then we're seeing that it's happening across the board. And we can also say that it might be societal influences that are going on. But we are still in the middle of a spiritual battle. So any way that the other side they can bring down the power and the grace of the church, the Lord has seen this for thousands and thousands of years of being attacked. And the thing that we have to do is offer first our condolences, our forgiveness to the circumstances. To, as you've already said, Pastor Jones, that we got to be careful, you know, of who's we are and who we're standing with. But also, this then sends out a message to our, to the followers of the Lord, that we're going to have to be as vigilant and be as assertive as possible to protect our ability to worship, while also showing positive love to combat some of the feelings that are going on with these circumstances. So it's unfortunate, but it doesn't surprise me, because the fact that with your journey with the Lord, you're going to see the good, the bad, and the ugly of our existence with him. So you're back to Pastor Jones, yes.
Thank you so much. You. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. And Chandra Daniels, thank you for shouting out. But it's Happy Black History Month. Last week we talked about people who have done great things in Black history, and I just want to reiterate a few of them. Let's start off with the Buffalo Soldiers. If you don't know about the Buffalo Soldiers, I'm happy to say I'm an honorary lifetime Buffalo Soldier. Did I ride on the horses with them? No, I didn't. Well, I've been in the parade with them, but I never rode back in the day when they were pulled out in the middle of civil wars. Matter of fact, African Americans have served in every war that America has ever had. Maybe not given the good job that they did. They never would like kudos for what you've done until later on when they proved that they could not win a war without us. At first, they didn't want us in the war, and then they found out they couldn't win without us. So when I talk about the Buffalo Soldiers, the Tuskegee Airmen, Benjamin Banneker, Malcolm X, Dr. Martin Luther King, Madam C.J. Walker, and I can go on and on and on with Black inventors, Black surgeons, Black people who have made the difference in the United States of America. So I can go on and on. And I'm going to talk about somebody in just a little bit, but really quick, I want to go to each person and just a really short little who your Black History person is for this month. And I don't want to forget, remember the movie Hidden Figures, where they talked about the three African-American females. They couldn't have sent that ship out into the moon and back to the earth without them being the mathematicians that they were. They were scientists and mathematicians, but because of the fact that they were African-American women, they couldn't put the title scientists on them. But that's what they were. They were mathematical geniuses who assisted the white counterparts into sending the ship, the first ship to the moon and back. They did the trajectories on how to do it because they couldn't figure it out. But them three sisters went up there and figured it out and said, and guess what? They still get the glory and the honor. One of our African-American female astronauts, Mrs. Campbell, who went up, the first African-American woman to go up in space, all the way to the moon and back. So there's so much history. But without further ado, because everything is about time, it's 9:25 a.m., February 12, 2024, where we're asking God for a whole lot more. We need so much help right now. Let's go really quick to Clarence and Mallon. Clarence and Mallon, who's your Black History person for this month in Black History? So go right ahead, take the floor.
Oh, there are just so many to choose from, the accomplishments, the creation, discoveries, man, the civil rights. There's just so many to choose from. And if I was just to throw the dart at the board and pick one, I would let it land on Shirley Chisholm.
Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Brother Clarence. I really appreciate it. Let's give him Shirley Chisholm. All right. Wow. Now, without further ado, I'm going to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, take the floor. Give us a person in Black history who you admired and that you would like to share with us right now. Go right ahead.
Eddie, each time you ask me that, I will come back with the same answer. My favorite, Madam C.J. Walker, and practically every woman living here on planet Earth can all respect her, because not only was it just for Black health care and oppressing combs, but just imagine the body products that she created. And she used natural fresh flowers and plants. And my favorite lady.
Amen. Let's give a big hand for Vera Jones. Now, none other than our great professor, Professor Reigns, please take the floor. Who would be your great Black history person for today?
If I may, Pastor Jones, may I split it between two?
Yes, you sure can.
Okay. Now, the second one you're not going to like, but because we've already experienced with the Super Bowl, but I'm just impressed with that young man, and so I'll get to him afterwards. But anyway, the situation is that I'm a member of what we call the Divine Nine of the sororities and fraternities. That would have been like Kappa Alpha Psi and Delta Sigma Theta, all of these sororities. And the one thing that these heroes and heroes were brilliant enough to create a space for African Americans who were going to universities, because without that, they didn't have the support. So they were the first like maker space or space that we had that would allow us to be successful while going to college. And it happened in the early 1900s, and you can see the benefits that has happened. I'll say this overall. Hakeem Jeffries is a Kappa, but he's also the most powerful man in Congress. And when we take over the House, he will be the new Nancy Pelosi. But that's because of the training that we get within leadership, within the fraternities and the sororities. So I applaud them. The second one, and don't beat me up, is Patrick Mahomes, because he's the third Black quarterback to win a Super Bowl and was given tap by Tom Brady to be now the heir apparent to move forward. That is huge, because the fact that he said in his interview he wanted now to be the person that others of color like us will look to him to continue the legacy and the future, so that you can have your rematch with San Francisco or with them or some of the others, but at least it is falling in that same vein of lifting us up together when we achieve to move us forward in the best direction. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
All right, let's give a big applause. Now, that's some Black history for you. So, and we're going to come back to that. We have a guest coming on today. I want to get him in the studio, none other than Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. Good morning, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, my friend. God bless you.
Everybody say
I'm
hello.
I'm doing wonderful. Doing absolutely
everybody
wonderful.
Say good morning, Chief Apostle
I got
Kenneth
in a little
Curry.
Late, but glad to be a part.
All right. Everybody say good morning to Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry.
Good morning, Chief Apostle Dr. Professor Curry.
Chief Apostle Ken Curry, good morning.
Good morning. Now, Chief Apostle Ken Curry, we were just going over who do we admire for Black history because it's Black History Month. And so I said the Tuskegee Airmen, the Buffalo Soldiers, Madam C.J. Walker, Benjamin Banneker. I can keep going on and on with people who invented things that have helped Howard D. Du Bois, Langston Hughes. I could go on and on. So tell me, for Black History Month, who do you choose to bring to the forefront that we can say thank you for attributing to the United States of America?
Well, one of the main ones that we recognize is those that help with justice. And that would be Thurgood Marshall. Bring about the civil rights and bring it to the court to help us tremendously. And so, you know, those are people that we want to honor. There was many stories about those that were at in the medical field, and I understand know about people like Benjamin Banneker, Christmas Addicts, and all of these different people that contributed in our Black history. And it is a shame that in our day and time that our story as African Americans is not being told. So our generation doesn't know how brilliant their ancestors were.
Amen. Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, thank you so much. Let's give him a hand. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Kenneth Curry, I want you to know, hey, what's up, Kevin? Kevin D. Galis, how are you, my man from Dorsey? We got some other Dorsey people on, too. Thank you very much for joining us. Chief Apostle, I want you to know I am wearing my Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award button on my, can you see it? I'm wearing it right now. You see it, Chief? Here we go. Okay, so I'm wearing it right now, and I'm thankful to God.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, for doing my civil rights work for over the last 30 years and working with everybody from all over the place. Okay, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry said he's getting a little feedback. So if you have your phone on and you got Facebook Live on at the same time, you got to turn one of them down. So you might want to turn Facebook down and just leave your phone on, then that way you won't get a feedback. Brother Kevin, I'm so glad that you've joined us, man. God bless you, brother, and God bless the Dorsey baseball team, and God bless the Dorsey faculty, and great things are happening over at Susan Miller Dorsey High School. I'm always honored and always a pleasure to have all of our people on and so many people that are coming on to the show. Now, without further ado, there's some things that also took place. I know we always talk about the good things, but there's something that's going on. Matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about a mother who unfortunately killed her children, and then she killed herself. There's a lot of good mothers out there, okay? But if there are mothers out there who are dealing with mental illness, don't be ashamed to call somebody and let somebody know you need help. If you need help, that's what this show is for. That's what they have a number that we'll give out to you later. If you're having a situation where you're just going through stress or you're having postpartum blues or whatever it is, it's not too big for God and it's not too big for you to ask for help. Don't wait till the last moment and end up doing something that you will regret for the rest of your life. So I want to say this to you out there. I see you, Cousin V. God bless you. There was a mother over the weekend who did something that I really don't want to talk about it, but I got to talk about it because it might help somebody else. And I just want you to listen to this carefully, and I want you to hear this. It's going to be, my God. I want you to hear this. Okay, so let's go right here. Just for a minute. You're on Andy Jones Radio Talk Show. Let's see. Oops, that's the wrong one. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to the next one. Let's see. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's see. We're going to play that in just a minute, but let me just read it to you, then that way we don't have to worry about playing it for you. An infant in Missouri died when her mother mistakenly put her down for a nap in the oven with the oven on. And the prosecutor said Saturday, Mariah Thomas of Kansas City was charged with endangering the welfare of a child. Court records do not yet show if Mrs. Thomas has an attorney, and no phone listing for Thomas could be found. Police responded Friday afternoon to a report of an infant not breathing. A probable cause statement said responders found the child was apparent burns. The child was pronounced dead at the scene. You're not going to hear this everywhere else. They're not putting this all over the news because they don't want you to know what's going on. Yes, she is an African-American woman. Yes, she was a young mother. And yes, she was having some mental disabilities going on. It brought me to tears. It brought me to tears to hear that that baby died baking in an oven. And so I want to go real quick because I'm a little emotional. I want to go really quick. And I want to say this. If you are a mother and you can't take care of your child, you can drop them off at the police department, the fire department, with Child Protective Services, with another relative, but don't wait to the last minute where you don't know how to function and you kill your child. Okay, everybody can get help. I don't care who you are. I'm not talking about the good mothers, okay? There's lots of good mothers out there. I'm talking about mothers who don't want to be a mother who's on drugs, a mother who's on whatever, saying, I'm doing the best I can. Well, no, there's help out there for you, okay? There's help out there for you, but if you don't go ask for help, you're not going to get any help. And the only help that she's ever going to get is murder, and she's going to prison for a long time when she could have called anybody to help her, and that would have been changed around. So without further ado, I want to go really quick, and just a short statement from each person. I'm going to start off with Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, what do you feel about what you just heard?
It is just very devastating to hear that the only solution that that person could find would be to just eliminate the problem. But see, that is the type of society that we're coming in. They want a microwave answer to the situation that they deal with. And, you know, we're living in a world that, you know, the knowledge of God is not transferred from the church to the people. And so they use whatever knowledge that they have to deal with the situation that they're confronted with. And usually that is the world's knowledge. Whatever the world does, then they will do what Paul described. He said, and be not what conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by renewing your mind. There was a better thing that you could have done instead of what you did. Because remember, when lusts have conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth what? Death. And
that's
so
right.
That would... She went through the whole process of that thing, and at the end of it, there was death. When there could have been another spiritual choice. I mean, like you were talking about, there are people that would adopt a child. There are so many other avenues that you could have taken. But if somebody, either some counselor had gotten to that parent or whatnot to give them another solution to the situation, we could have saved lives.
Amen.
That's why
Amen.
We say we can't just hide ourselves behind the four walls of the church and act like these situations don't exist. That's just
yes.
one of many, many other people that are out there.
Yes, I want to say thank you so much, Apostle Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. I want to say Cousin Veronica say good morning to all my co-hosts, family, friends, listening audience, and our special guests. So she wants us to, so we want to give her a big applaud and Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. You are on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Let's see, Sister Darlene Anderson said on Instagram, she said, the case is that people become resentful after their gift because it is a large responsibility and we can only pray for them. So we are praying for her and the baby. But it's true, she says, foster care will put your child where it is safe. And she also said, may you see their Head Start programs when they take your children to your child from 5 weeks to 5 years. Oh, okay, amen. And the issue here is that our people don't understand what services actually are available. And that's why it's important to find
exactly.
out what is available. She also, in closing, she says there are other avenues and then there is just responsibility. And the key is that as a people, we have to figure out how we can come to the table and talk about the outcomes of the field services and they
mm-hmm.
are by law. Now, I'm saying this to say to you, and this is why I brought this up, because when I read the story, it touched my heart. As you see, I got very emotional because I have children. I have, well, they're all adults now, but I have grandchildren and I have a great-granddaughter. So, this hits home with me. So, if whoever's listening, tell somebody, if you know somebody who has a mental disability, if you know somebody, I worked on a case with a mother who killed her children, and then she wouldn't come out the house, and I actually talked her out the house and stopped her from committing suicide on herself. And we gave a big car wash, and I'm sure you remember this, Vera. We raised the money to bury all three of the kids. And that's still still
Pastor Eddie?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
If I may just piggyback on that, because, you know, we as spiritual leaders, we have congregations.
Mm-hmm.
We are the pillars of the community. And so
yes.
we should be the main advocates, because when we see those that come into your parish, in your congregation, you know,
yes.
that are struggling with you know, taking care of the children and stuff, we should be the first one to help to refer them. If you can't do it at your church, make sure you give them to someone who can. You know, talk and partner with some of these organizations. Say, look, you know, I've got one of my church members that may be having trouble getting food for her children or medicine
right.
or
yes.
whatever those needs are. Or may need some help, you know, just finding a home and learning how to own a home. But these are the things that these people are being confronted with. And so their choice is to just check out or get rid of the problem. And that's
right.
where we have to come in as a religious community.
Yes. And so with that being said, the reason why I get emotional, because, you know, as a pastor, I bury
mm-hmm.
children. I bury children, teenagers. And this is why I'm going to get into this real quick. There's a lot
yeah.
of our young people
yeah.
that are dying these days. I mean, on an all-time high. I've never seen so many young people dying, committing suicide because somebody said
mm-hmm.
something about social media. We need to educate our kids on don't let social media be your God. Don't listen to what other
mm-hmm.
people say. This guy told this beautiful, wonderful young lady, he told her, you're ugly and you need to go commit suicide. Guess what? She went home and she committed suicide. And
yeah.
she's dead. And just based on, well, they went to that kid's house and they got him. And he's in a juvenile facility for making her commit suicide. I forgot what the law was called. But it's somewhere in like the terrorist threat area, even though, you know, he told her to do something and he called her names and he bullied her. That's what he did. He bullied her until mm-hmm. she died, until she committed suicide. So I want to go really quick to the other people that are on the show, and I'd like to get their opinion. I'm going to start off with Clarence and Malin. Just give us a short snippet. How do you feel about the mother putting the baby in the oven, killing the baby, and now she's going to do life in prison? Go right ahead, Brother Clarence, take the floor.
Yes, this is just another tragic story here, you know. It's just an awakening story. I believe we might have covered something similar to this a couple of years ago where mother put her baby in the oven. So, you know, this is just another repeat. And it, to me, for me personally, it's an awakening situation, although the tragedy, and God bless that child, that we need to call people we know, check on them, call our loved ones. Check on them, you know, ask how are you doing, you know.
Yes.
So this is just another tragic incident, Pastor Chetty.
Thank you very much, Brother Clarence. I want to go straight to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V, take the floor. And I see you, Cousin Veronica, call on in. Cousin Veronica, call in. We're waiting on you. We want to get your opinion, too. And the sports report. Vera Jones, take the floor, Dr. A.K.A. Dr. Karen Granny V. What's going on? What do you think about this mother and what she did?
Well, hearing that, it brings sadness, you know, to my heart and my spirit, and it brings water to my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Vera. Thank you so very much for what you just said. And, you know, at the end of this discussion, I'm going to take out a moment to celebrate those lives. I want to celebrate the life of the young boy who's fighting for his life from Joe Osteen's church, where the mother took her child into the middle of a shooting. I don't know what was on her mind when she did that. Then the mother who put her baby in the oven, and any child that has died at the hands of their mother, I want to recognize them right now, because that is a form of abuse. It's a form of mental instability. It's a form of, you know, and I'm not talking about good mothers who take care of their kids, and I know a lot of mothers who give their kids the whole entire world, but these mothers who have attempted to kill their kids or killed their kids or beat their kids or set their kids on fire or stabbed them to death or whatever they have done, this is a civil rights issue, too, that they get the right proper help, that they get help from Child Protective Services, the hospital, psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors, and any other entity. And we're going to have Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones on our show, who does mental health in youth, and we'll be talking to her about this really soon. Without further ado, let's go to Professor Reams and get some closing remarks on what happened with the baby. Go right ahead, Professor. Please take the floor. Give us your take.
Well, I agree with everything that's been said. This is tragic. You know, as we all have children, and we look at it from as a tragic situation. And the act that was, thank goodness, put in place in California is the California End of Life Options Act, which makes it illegal to tell someone to commit suicide. So with that, my prayers have always been to, you know, that God, you know, provides grace and mercy to those who I can see. And those who I cannot see as well, because for every person that we save, there are those, maybe even more people that we don't even know about, that have done this, and now their lives are lost, and we have to just pray for all of them and do the best we can to communicate to them that there are other alternatives. But it's a night prayer that I always cheer up on, because only God will see this and probably talk to their hearts to say that this is not the way. So I yield back to Pastor Jones.
Thank you so very much. Now, don't go anywhere. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And at this point in the game, we can't fall for nothing. What's going on, Brother Gerald? How are you, man? And Sister Christine Williams, welcome, welcome, welcome. I want to go to something that happened over the weekend that really bothered me a lot. And we talked about Black history. We talked about the Tuskegee Airmen. We talked about the Buffalo Soldiers. And remember, the white counterparts would not fly a military mission without the Tuskegee Airmen. And not one Tuskegee Airman died. They all came back safe every single time. I didn't say their plane didn't get shot up. Yeah, they did. But they helped those bombers make their missions and hit their targets, and they wouldn't go without them once they found out how good they really were. And they have always, they said, oh, yeah, you can't do that. Well, guess what? We've been doing it all since day one. And we take lemons and we make lemonade and Kool-Aid, just in case you don't understand. We make Kool-Aid too, all right? So cool it on down. But without further ado, I want to go to a situation that happened over the weekend that really, really made me upset. This man, and I'm going to celebrate him for Black History Month right now, even though we talked about Benjamin Banneker and Madam C.J. Walker and the Peanut Man, George Washington Carver, and all the people who have done great things as black people. This man right here has done some great things. And we got a little feedback in the background. Put yourself on mute if you're on right now. This man's name is Herbert Wigwe. Herbert Wigwe. Herbert Wigwe died this weekend as he was the CEO of one of the biggest banks in Nigeria. He was the CEO of the biggest black bank, biggest bank, not black, biggest bank in Nigeria. He was, him and his wife, Mrs. Wigwe, and their son, their youngest son, was on their way to Las Vegas to go to the Super Bowl. Somewhere along the way, their helicopter crashed, and it killed him, wife, and his son. Now, nobody knew who Herbert Wigwe was, but Herbert Wigwe was born August 1966. Okay, wait, I got to put somebody on hold because there's a lot of noise in the background. Hold on one second. Hold on. Okay. All right, now, let's go back to the story. Now, this really touched my heart because, let me go back. Okay, this really touched me. Now, I'm going to tell you, he was the group managing director and CEO of Access Bank, one of Nigeria's top five banking institutions. After succeeding his business partner, he became the CEO. So I'm telling you myself, I feel like they set him up to be murdered. This is just my opinion. Now, you don't have to agree with me at all. But how many helicopter rides and you're the CEO and you're going to the Super Bowl, and without him being the CEO, I wonder what's going to happen now. But anyway, he died in a helicopter crash on February the 9th. 2024 in the United States on his way to attend the Super Bowl 54 championship game in Las Vegas. Now, they put a really short story on, hey, Denise Washington, God bless you. They put a real short story, Moni Scott. God bless you, Moni Scott. Praise God, Evangelist Moni Scott. Thank you so much. Praise God. Now, I know you don't know who he is, but you do now. And remember, he was the CEO of the biggest bank in Nigeria. And this is a nice guy. He helped a lot of people, fed people, did so many things. He was a philanthropist also. And so I'm going to read this to you one more time. His name is Herbert Wigwe. And okay, Wigwe and five others died on that. Okay, both of the pilots died. He died, his wife died, and his youngest son died while they were on their way to, So here we have the CEO of the biggest bank in Nigeria. Hey, Barbara Jean Farley, praise the Lord. God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So let me talk about his, let's see. Wigwe was married to Chizoba Wigwe Nimumba, and they had four children together. So the youngest son was with them on the plane, on the helicopter, and the father, the wife, and the youngest son died. and the two pilots. Now, you know, they don't mind killing no pilots when they're trying to kill somebody. I still think that Kobe's dying on the helicopter was, I really don't believe it was an accident. I don't. I don't believe that Mr. Wigwe, who died in that helicopter crash on his way to the Super Bowl, I don't believe that was an accident either. They have been killing off our seeds since day one. Who are they? I don't know. Some sort of secret society that doesn't like successful African-American males to be successful. So what do? They kill them off, and they have other people take over the seat who will do what they want them to do. It happened to Dr. Martin Luther King. It happened to Malcolm X. It happened to Medgar Evers. Every African-American male leader that gets up to stand up for the right of the people are annihilated. And that's why their civil rights, their constitutional rights, their human rights were violated. And so I want to celebrate their lives right now, the life of Mr. Herbert Wigwe, the CEO of the biggest bank in Nigeria and in some places around the world. This man was an intelligent, intellectual, astute individual who didn't deserve to die that way. Kobe didn't deserve to die that way. But there's a lot of politics in everything, even in sports. Even the way the game was won yesterday, it was like, you know, everything was like weird because it looked like San Francisco was about to win, and then all of a sudden they got a big twist. So with this being said, really quick, I want to remember him, and I want to remember the babies that I told you that passed away, the young man that was shot at Joel Osteen's church yesterday. I want to honor him. And like Sister Moni Scott said, my God. Really quick, let me read this, and then we're going to come right back. Sister Darlene Anderson said, but the deal is that we can't talk about it after it's done, what we are doing to change the situations for these women and these men who are having these babies who don't know how to raise them. Okay, hold that thought. Hold that thought. I agree with you. Okay, without further ado, I want to go to real quick. Wait a minute. Let me get back into the queue here. Let me go right quick. Let's hold that thought. Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, what do you feel about what I just said about Mr. Herbert Wigwe, who was the CEO of the biggest bank in Nigeria? Go right ahead. Take the floor. He lost his wife. His wife died in there and his youngest son. Go ahead.
Well, let me just say we're no stranger to this type of information because, I mean, you can go all the way back to people like Bob Marley, who was an advocate trying to tell people to stand up for their rights and all of that. They didn't want any of that to get to this country. And so, you know, there were others that were trying to send a message. You know, it's just so funny as you look, everything that we have here that advertises our homeland in Africa, you know, they show just Aborigines and all of that, and they don't show any positive light for us to see our own real culture. And so then you got people like DeSantis that, you know, makes announcements of, this is where woke comes to die. Woke was meant to awaken us to the reality that we are better than things look. You know, we have brilliant people that are doing brilliant things, but they won't let that information get to this country. Now, I say this because my wife, she is from the islands. You know, mm-hmm. they came from St. Mark. They right. didn't have the things, and they were not exposed to the things that we were exposed to here. So they didn't grow up with the type of injustice that we had here. When she came here, all of that was new to her, you know, and she was learning of the experiences that we have been experiencing all along for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. And now you have many politicians that sit there in Congress and in the Senate who are trying to set us back 400 years. they're gradually trying to take back. I say, you know, in my analysis, you know, it's like the South is trying to win. They're hoping that they can win the war. And so they're trying to do it not shooting bullets, but they're trying to take back the laws that were established by Dr. King and others, man. And that's why we have to stand up. We have to vote. We have to speak up and say something, because all of our spiritual leaders that we had, people like Reverend Al Sharpton, they're getting older.
Yes,
you know, we don't have them to be there to stand up. And I thank God for you, you know, Pastor Eddie, because you're an advocate, just like myself here. We believe in standing up for the rights of all humans, all human rights. And so we have not had the things that were owed to us. We haven't even had any type of reparation that should have been owed to us.
But I'm going to get into that in just a minute.
They're trying to stand up and say something. They come after them, just like you're talking about. They will come after them and try to eliminate them. And so that's real. That's our reality of where we are right now.
Amen. Thank you so much. Let's give a big hand for Chief of Apostle. You know, Mr. Wigwe was a CEO over one of the biggest banks in Nigeria. Clarence and Alan, take the floor really brief, because today is going to be a special time. We're going to change things around. We're going to get the commentary first, because Professor Eames has to be in some meetings today. So we were on a time schedule, and he has to be in that meeting by 10:30. So at around 10:15, we're going to stop, and we're going to do the commentary. But before we do anything else, I want to get everybody's opinion on this very important topic. All of our African-American male leaders are being annihilated for no reason, but it's a reason that we don't understand, that they're annihilating them because they are able to do things and change things and make things happen. So we have to protect our male babies. We have to protect our male teenagers. Hey, Cuz. Hey, Sister Cuz. How are you? God bless you. I hope you're healing well from everything that's been going on. I know God is with you and healing you right now as we speak. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I want to say that we have to take care of our young African-American males, our new leaders that are coming up. And it's so important, because I don't know why. I wish they would have took a Learjet. It would have been a whole lot safer than a helicopter. The helicopters are dangerous, and they are not as safe, because once they crash, that's it. They break up into little pieces. You got a propeller going over 100 miles an hour, and then you got a propeller in the back 100 miles an hour, and then the helicopter is just not made to crash. And once they crash, everybody dies. Hallelujah. Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, we are going to pray about your father in just a few minutes. Praise God. We send out blessings to your dad. I want to say this. Well, first, let's go to Clarence and Malley. Take the floor. Tell us what you think about what you just heard about Mr. Herbert Wigwe.
Yes. First, if I can speak for the show, I will say our deepest sympathies and condolences to this family and even to their child, baby, the one-month-old baby that was in the oven. I was listening to you, Pastor Eddie, when you was making a comparison. There are similarities with this crash incident and the one with Kobe and Gianna Bryant and the others that was on that aircraft. The thing was weather with both of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kobe had the cloud cover they couldn't see. In this particular aircraft, it wasn't equipped with the technology where you can see the terrain through inclement weather. Now, this Airbus helicopter, it sounds like it was up to date, and I don't know if it also had that technology, but they were in inclement weather. It means the article, it appears that they were probably heading to the Super Bowl, and when they left here from California in this inclement weather, and I'm not down there in California, but from where I'm at, listening to y'all that had earthquakes, tornadoes, record-breaking torrential rain. And so, you know, San Bernardino County is one of the largest counties in all the states. It is huge. And so when we look at this weather and we look at these prominent people, and there was also another gentleman who was a former stock exchange executive. So when we look at this and these families, man, it's such just a tremendous family. And you pointed it out, and Chief Apostle had his bullet points that was so important to notice also, that the similarities of prominent people, lives have been lost in different ways. But your comparison was dead on point with Kobe Bryant and this family here. So great topic. God bless them.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Brother Clarence and Malin. Really quick, I want to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, take the floor. What do you think about the helicopter crash with the CEO of the biggest bank in Nigeria, him and his wife and his youngest son? Go right ahead. Take the floor, Vera.
Well, Eddie, it's another sad story again, and I am sure, definitely sure, that they will be missed by many. And we just never know when or how we're going to leave the earth. And I'm sure over in that country, right now, the entire country is grieving.
Thank you, Vera. Thank you so much. Yeah, wow. And without further ado, we're going to go to Professor Eames. Professor Eames, please take the floor. What do you think about the CEO over the biggest bank in Nigeria, all of a sudden on his way to the Super Bowl with his wife and his youngest son? He had four kids. He got three kids left, and the mother, the husband, and the youngest child is dead. They were in a super bus helicopter that crashed right off the 15 freeway on their way to Las Vegas. Go right ahead.
Yes. As the panelists mentioned, it's a combination of it. First of all, it's very tragic, and it's very unfortunate, but it's also very suspicious, too, at the same time, because of the circumstances that occurred. Because if you had a CEO flying in or coming in, you would want them to be in a Learjet, the most protective thing ever, for them to fly in and then be limousined into the location. So this will be very interesting to see how does the Nigerian government then handle what's going to happen next. And the reason why I'm saying this is that I can monitor that and see what's going to go on. Because, see, if the Nigerian government with the bank continues to do the great work that the late CEO was doing, then it means that there's always a backup plan that will allow him to continue to have those good works that are going on. But if all of a sudden, that after the death, everything seems to disappear or go to another faction, then that would show that this would have been foul play that was supported by those in the country and also those in this country as a way of changing the leadership and dynamics. So so right now we're not sure what is the next direction that's going to happen. So definitely it is important to monitor this. But the good thing about it is, and excellent summary from Chief Apostle Curry about our leaders. The one thing that we have to make sure that we do is that we have a whole slew of backup leaders, almost like with the Black Lives Matters approach, where it wasn't just the one single leader and then the whole movement dies.
Right.
What Black Lives Matters did was that we are all Martin Luther King, and therefore you can take out one or two of us, or even most of us, but the movement will still go on, regardless, to continue us to move forward. So why we love and we have that connection with that leader, we also have to remember we need to have that wonderful connection with the movement and with the goal as well, so that we can, everything is replaceable. And that's why the reason why they're still scratching their heads, like our population was supposed to go down, since we're only 12 or 13% of the population. Our population is going up to where we're 45 million, almost 50 million, and it's still growing. So
that's right.
And they weren't sure if Africa was going to last, but now Africa is almost the second or third largest continent in the world, with about 1.3 or 1.4 billion people. So we're not going anywhere. So that is so it'll be interesting to see how the country reacts to this. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Praise God. Thank you for that right there. I want to thank everybody that's on right now. I mean, it's a lot of people on. I want to give a shout out to the CEO over the biggest bank in Nigeria, who lost his life with his wife and his child on board of this helicopter. His name was Herbert Anyanwumbo Wigwe. And I really believe in my heart of heart, my belief is that it was not an accident. Kobe Bryant was not an accident. Here Kobe is, one of the biggest money-making people in basketball. He was just getting ready to open up centers for kids, all kinds of programs, and all of a sudden, he dies with his daughter in a helicopter that shouldn't even been out in that type of weather. This helicopter shouldn't have been out in that type of weather. I find it, I mean, I just wonder what the country of Nigeria is thinking about their loved one right now. I can hear the women crying, and you know how they do it in their high pitches when they do their tribal, it just pierces your soul. So my heart goes out to him. My heart goes out to the shooting that took place at Joel Osteen's church. My heart goes out to the baby girl who got killed in the oven. And with that being said, I want to play this and have a moment of silence on the show. So let me make sure, as I do this right now, in memory of all these black people and leaders who have lost their lives, murdered, including Medgar Evers and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and anybody who's lost their child to someone with mental disabilities. This goes out to the CEO, President, Mr. Wigwe and his family, and everybody that we just talked about today. Without further ado. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And if we don't stand for something, we're going to fall for anything. And so I'm going to switch reels right now. It's about 10:14 a.m. I am honored and grateful and gratified to bring forth the commentary this morning before we do anything else on the show. But before I do the commentary, I just want to share with you our word of the week, and I want you to think about our word of the week, and then I want you to, hey, let's say good morning to Cousin V. Good morning, Cousin V. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing all right.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody say good morning to Cousin V. Let's say good morning, y'all.
Good morning, Cousin V. Welcome.
Good morning, Cousin V.
Cousin V, good morning.
Good morning, family.
Amen. Let's give her a big applause. Thank you, because I know the sports report is going to be so good. All right. Well, I just want to say this. The word of the week is organized. The word of the week is organized. Organize your life. Organize yourself. Organize your children. Organize your family. Organize everything. Amen. That is the word of the week. The scripture of the week. The scripture of the week is Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. Let me read it to you. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the people on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. Remember that. I want to share it with you one more time. The scripture of the week, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. Open up your Bible to it and have it open all week. And it reads, your God has chosen you out of all the people on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession, the word of God for the people of God. And without further ado, it is 10:16. We're going to turn it over for none other than Professor Reams with the commentary. Professor Reams, please take the floor. Give us the commentary.
Thank you, John. Thank you for the applause. And thank you, Cousin V, to Clarence Allen, to Dr. Granny V, to Lana Jones. Shout out to Melanie Opry and then Dr. Aretha Jones Adams, as well as Linda Goldie. My family, thank you so much for all the brilliance that you provided me today with your wonderful words and wisdom that you've shared with that. So here we are. One of the issues that comes up is we're here in the month of February. Now, February is the month of love. And because of that, it's also Black History Month. So once again, I'll say that, yes, they might think that it's a short month, but the reality is this is the love month as well. So in kind of being a little Dr. Granny V, this is the holistic area of what's going on with this month. And so we've talked about some issues. We talked about Joel Osteen and his church having that tragedy. We've talked about the Nigerian CEO and his death. But what we've also talked about is the greatness and genius of African Americans that we've endured since we've come to this country. And we're showing the love that is needed to keep us moving on and keeping our giddy up skipping so that we can keep on moving. Now, one thing that we've been given a gift is the fact of Deuteronomy 7:7, that the Lord your God has chosen you out of all the people. And we're chosen now in this moment, in light of the fact of what Chief Apostle Curry mentioned, of folks trying to take us back 400 years, to oppose that through your vote, through your love, through working with your family. And in doing so, the good Lord has, in his journey, allowed us to see what does it feel like to be the Lord himself. Because if we're on the journey, then he's going to share what it feels like. So all the negative things that you're experiencing, the Joel things, the family issues, think of what the good Lord goes through when he hears and sees all the pain and suffering and the prayers that are going through each and every day, 7 days a week, forever with us as his children. And he wants the best for us, but then the question is, do we want the best for us and do we believe in him? And in that question, this is where we're seeing that type of dichotomy of the spiritual battle of these poor children that are being abused, of these mothers that are committing suicide, and also of folks taking guns and shooting each other, and then politicians try to use these words against us, because if you're woke, that's supposed to be a bad word. But if you're woke, then you're going to vote because you know that you're not going to vote against your bad interests overall. So in looking at that from that direction, we are here at this moment, and Deuteronomy reminds us that the good Lord will meet us halfway, but we have to do our part, and we have to show up, show out, and make sure that not only are we supporting the legacy of what we've talked about of our forefathers, but also to honor those who are also part of Black History Month. All of us are part of Black History Month. But I'm also going to put kudos to Pastor Eddie Jones for continuing the legacy of the forefathers that came before him, and Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry for continuing the legacy in a larger way on a national level, so that Uncle Joe doesn't have to worry about who's being honored or who is not doing the right thing, and those of our heroes and sheroes continue to work with us in spirit to continue their legacy that they expect us and God expects us to fulfill, since he has chosen us for this moment of success. And with that, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Wow, what a commentary. Wow, Professor Reams, thank you so much for that wonderful commentary. I want to send a shout out to everybody that's on the show right now. Thank you guys so much. You know, Professor Reams, he's on his way out the door to go take care of some very important things. Thanks so much. Let's everybody tell Professor Reams thank you. Let's give him a big hand ourselves. Just say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
It's an honor.
Thank you so much.
We're going to be helping these young ladies, my academic babies, to do well so that we continue our legacy with them with style. With that, everyone have a blessed rest of the day, and I will see you for the full show for next Monday.
Praise God. Thank you so much, Professor Reams. We'll see you next week. Okay, you guys. Thank God. Thank God. Want to say to you that I was doing the illegal immigrants part 4, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I'm just going to spend a little bit of time on it, but let's see what it says here for our first topic. That was the news that we were talking with you about, and I couldn't help but talk about it. Illegal immigrants part 4, shots fired by 3 teens, immigrants shoot up Times Square in New York, pickpocket team in New York, snatching purses, dragging people, and committing violent crimes. This guy, they have a new pickpocketing team. They're illegal immigrants from Venezuela. They have a gang, and they are going around pickpocketing people and snatching purses on a scooter. And when they snatch the purse, if the person don't let go, they drag them into poles and streets and sock them and kick them. One of them went to a guy's house and took his American flag. And when the guy came out to get his flag, the illegal immigrant beat him to a pulp, kicked him, stomped him. Thank God they caught him, and he's in jail right now. I want you to hear something right now, and it kind of bothers me, because here we let all these people come into our country, and I'm going to tell you what the real mission is. The real mission is there's a lot of Catholics that are illegal immigrants, and they need their vote. Now, just think about this and let us think into the rest of it. Why would they let all these people come in here? Well, when they can get all their votes, because you don't have to be registered to be a voter, and you don't have to be an American to be a voter. You can have the right to vote. You're getting free money. You're getting free EBT. You're getting free food, a free 5-star hotel. Come on. African Americans haven't even received their reparations yet. Come on, America. Anyway, listen to this video. Okay, let's see this. Wait, hold on. We're going to start this over. Okay. I want you to hear this. Okay, let's stop the video. Let's just do this. A 15-year-old migrant who allegedly shot a tourist while firing at a security guard and later aimed his gun at the New York Police Department in Times Square tried to flee with the city with his mom. And I want you to hear right now this young man. Wait a minute. Let's see. Let's go back to the beginning. I want you to hear this young man's mother. This is the kid who was shooting. It was 3 of them. They went into a big mall up there in New York in Times Square. They were stealing clothes out the store. They've been doing this. They're going in there stealing clothes. They're hijacking people. They're just committing a lot of crime. And so they finally caught the 15-year-old that was shooting at the New York Police Department, and he shot an innocent bystander. He tried to kill the security officer, and he was just shooting like he didn't care. 15 years old, illegal immigrant in the gang that has come to America that are infiltrating New York and Chicago and other places. Listen to this. Okay, this is the mother crying after they're taking away the 15-year-old who was doing all the shooting at the police and shooting at the other people and robbing folks. He's been doing it, stealing out of the Robinson's, Macy's, or whatever you want to call it. And the mother is actually crying like that because the police are taking him away for having a .45-caliber gun and shooting and killing innocent people. I don't feel sorry for him one bit. I don't feel sorry for any of the stuff that's going on with the illegal immigrants in America right now. Something needs to be done. Something should be done. Okay? And they caught all three of the guys, but then there's a whole lot more of them. They're going after these gangs. And you know, I'm not talking about the illegal immigrants who come in here and do the right thing, okay? Not talking about them. I'm talking about the ones that are over here illegally robbing the system, robbing the people, and not being appreciative to the fact that America gave them over another chance to come over and get right and get a job and take care of yourself. No, they refuse to leave out the hotels. They kicked some police officers, two police officers, almost to their death. They just kicked them in the head and the back. Okay, you cut out for my, okay, good. So I'm just saying to you, what the world is going on? And with that being said, I want to go to, hold on, don't go anywhere. I want to go to Cousin V. I'm going to go to Cousin V first because are you in Florida or Texas, Cousin V?
I'm in Florida.
Amen. Praise God. So take the floor. Tell me what you think about this illegal immigration problem. And now they're shooting innocent people and shooting at New York police officers. And golly, the New York police didn't even shoot back at the kid, but go right ahead.
I really don't have a whole lot to say because, like, mostly everything you said today is kind of upsetting. It's just not a good week for me, a good day. So, you know, going through everything that I've been going through is just not anything to comment on right now because, I mean, the woman, how do you put a baby in an oven and you know those kind of things when,
yeah,
you know, we have our kids and that just does something to a person. So
yes.
I really don't have a whole lot to say today on that subject.
Well, I just want you to know, and I mean this from my heart, we love Brandy. And you've been a wonderful mother, and you're a wonderful grandmother, and we are honored to have you on the show. You guys, let's send some love to Cousin V right now. Let's stop her and give her some love. Can we send a shout-out to her? Go right ahead.
Cousin V, we love you.
Thank you.
And Vera, are you there, Vera?
Amen, Eddie. Yes, I am.
I want to shout out Cousin V right now. She's, you know, she's feeling really emotional about, you know, Brandy, and I understand. And send her some love right now, Vera.
Yes, I'm sending you a big hug, a virtual hug. And I'm
We all family, so thank you guys.
Amen, yes. Amen. Praise God. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. With that being said, I'm going to go to Vera real quick. What do you think about this 15-year-old? And he's not the only one. There's a lot of illegal immigrants that are robbing, killing, stealing, pickpocketing, snatching purses. What do you think about that, Vera? What do you think that they should do?
You know, I feel sad to hear that. However, sometimes when some do not have money, means to work, provide for themselves, their family, or other stilling has become one of the jobs that they've taken to do. And regardless of whether it's from this country or another country, it's like stilling and killing, or it's all the same.
Yeah, you're right there. You know what else they're doing? They're stealing people's phones, and then they're charged. They have a guy that unlocks the phone, and then they resell the phone to the illegal immigrants. They're squatting in people's homes. They're going to people's Airbnbs, and they're squatting in there, and then they rent one of the rooms out to another illegal immigrant. These are all true stories. You can look them all up and read all about them. I'm not going to come on the show and just fabricate stuff and make something up. There's no smoking guns with this. It's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help me, God. It's the real deal, Holyfield. I'm keeping it real on the show. This is where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And if you ask me right now, America's rights are being completely violated. It's already so sad that African Americans have not received reparations in the United States of America. It's just a shame. And it's not only a shame that we haven't received it, it's also a shame that these illegal immigrants are getting $5,000 a month, depending on how many family members they have. They're getting free food. They get EBT, and they get thousands of dollars of EBT because they got 5 and 6 kids. So they're getting thousands of dollars of EBT. They're getting Medi-Cal. They're crashing the system is what they're doing right now. So I wanted to touch on that with you. I wanted to update you on what's going on with the illegal immigrants. And I just wanted to bring that to your attention. And it's 10:31 right now. It's time for our regular segment of the show. And without further ado, today, normally we start off with other things, but I want to start off with health and wellness with Vera Jones. Vera Jones, take the floor. Please give us health and wellness. Go right ahead.
Thank you so much, Eddie, for allowing me to share health and wellness every single week. So today I want to speak to you about healing with color. And color from our roots or plants or trees or fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. Now, I will speak mainly on the colors of the rainbow, and we would like to strengthen your immune system and broaden your health and your wellness from death do us part. So first I want to begin with red, because red is, you know, it's love month. And so we all need sweetness. Now, red, what the red does, are red fruits or vegetables. It helps lower the risk of cancer, especially prostate cancer. They're great antioxidants and great for heart disease and brain function. Now, some of the items that are red, cranberry, strawberries, blood oranges, tomatoes, rhubarb, watermelon, pomegranates, raspberry, and cherries. And blue, the color of the blue items, because they are so vibrant and they help keep us happy. You need a little more happiness, grab a couple of blue items to snack on. They also provide fiber. They lower the bad cholesterol and our blood sugar. They also prevent heart disease, strokes, cancer, and they're great for our brain. And I have blueberries for the blue. Now, yellow. Now, it's ray of energy. It aids in digestion, helps with our eyes and our nervous system. Those items would be pineapple, lemon, banana, corn, which I'm allergic to, and a lot of people can't eat corn because it is not easy to digest. Squash and grapefruit. Moving on to orange, is great for our digestive system, our heart health, our nervous system, our eyes, and one of the biggest ever to boost our immune system and protects us against cardiovascular disease, rebuilds collagen, our hair, skin, nails, and vision. Now, some of those items would be oranges, pumpkin, carrots, apricots, mangoes, papaya, sweet potato, and cantaloupe. Next, I'm moving on to my favorite color, which is purple or lavender. Now, it's calming, it's joyful, it's antibacterial. It's a cancer protector, and we can eat some of the purple cabbage, the purple potatoes, purple beets, eggplant, purple yams, which are really delicious, purple grapes, and figs. Now, moving right along to the green, because green is life. Green is nature. Green is our chlorophyll. And it's one of the heart protectors. It's great for our bones, teeth, and our heart. Now, it really aids in the gut digestion. And we cannot eat properly if we don't have our greens. So it also reduces many health problems like strokes, diabetes, type 2, cancer. And some of those items, my tops, are avocado, grapes, apples, limes, peas, broccoli, asparagus. And don't forget the herbs, because the herbs are just as important to include in your system every single week. Parsley, oregano, sage, mint, and rosemary. And last but not least, it's a category of like tan, brown, and white, which these are antiviral, antibacterial, which are cauliflower, ginger, garlic, parsnip, dates, onions, and turmeric. So if you can include the colors of the rainbow for healing your gut, your immune system, try the colors of the rainbow this week, and to death do us part. Amen.
Wow, that's an amazing.
Dr. Granny V.
Dr. Granny V, you really put it down on health and wellness today. Thank you so
amazing,
very much. Wow. Now, Pastor Ramsey, thank you for joining. Okay, yeah, amazing, Vera, very amazing. Pastor Ramsey, thank you for joining us. We would love to have you to come on to say a prayer. We always need a prayer, but if you can't make it on, I see you on Facebook Live. Thank you. He said he ate a whole bag of Halo oranges in 5 days. They are so good. And Halo, I love Halo oranges too. They are good. And I love tangerines and pears and apples and everything. And pineapple too. They're also good for you. Fruit is good for the human body. We need it, and we need our vegetables. Virgil, what's happening? What's up? Hey, speaking of water, man, I've been drinking my water. Virgil Johnson, it's an honor and a pleasure to see you in there. And here's my water right here. Matter of fact, for you people that don't know about it, let me just share this with you really quick. Me and my wife drink alkaline water. It's called Eternity. It's good for you. And get your Eternity water. And, yes, I drink it every day, all day long. We have to have our water. But without further ado, it's time for one of the most important parts of the show, and they're all important. It's time for the sports report. Yes, I have on red and white, but it was definitely for the San Francisco 49ers. Kansas City came in first place. I'm happy for them because I'm happy for Mahomes being an African-American quarterback making history. But I want to say this. The 49ers came in second place. Without further ado, Cousin V, take the floor. Give us the sports report, Cousin V.
Good morning. First of all, I just want to thank Vera for her segment, because those are some of the things we have been practicing for years, and it does work. I can say thank God to this day that I am not on any prescription medication. So I just want to thank God for that. Thank you for your segment, because that is so true. We start off, I'm going to do the Super Bowl, get it over with. Because we knew, like we said weeks ago, we know who was going to win. It doesn't matter how the game was played. But anyway, the Chiefs beat the 49ers 25-22. But how about that halftime show with Usher?
That was
a great performance. And just to see some of the old school come out with him, and Alicia Keys and everyone that came out that has helped him through his career to be on that stage, that was an honor.
Her, too.
Saw, but I was saying, like, the older ones.
Yeah.
You know, because they hadn't been putting out, like, Ludacris and Lil Jon. They haven't, like, put out albums or things, you know, in the past few years. So
I just
said off to the old school to be able to perform in this new day and time, 2024. Okay, and so then we have, I'm going to go to the boxing. And it kind of stands your heart. But I know Carl Weathers, who is an acclaimed actor that played Apollo Creed in Rocky franchise. He died at age 76.
Yeah.
He was a veteran American star, best known for playing the, they say, bombastic heavyweight champion boxer Apollo Creed in Rocky franchise. And
yeah.
His death was on Friday, February the 1st. And it said that he died peaceful. So you do want to thank God for that. And be, you know, just a moment of silence just to thank God for having such a wonderful person play Apollo Creed. And he was born in New Orleans on January 14th. So he did. He had just had another birthday. So, you know, you can't beat that. He surpassed 75. After retiring from football in 74, he earned a bachelor's degree in drama. Guess where? Of all places, San Francisco State University. And that's where he elected to pursue his acting career. His break came in 1976 when he was cast as Rocky Balboa's original nemesis, Apollo Creed, in the Oscar-winning movie Rocky, which was written and starred by Sylvester Stallone. Some other works he did was Death Hunt, Predator, Action Jackson, and Happy Gilmore. So, like I said, just thank God for such an actor. And then also in boxing, we had Teofimo Lopez defeated Jermaine Ortiz, and they had a full card, and Teofimo defended his WBO and Ring Magazine super lightweight title with a 12-round unanimous decision over Ortiz at the Michelob Arena in Las Vegas. And that was on Thursday, despite all the stuff that was going on with the Super Bowl, but we also had boxing going on. The scores were 117-111, 115-113, and 115-113. So hats off to Teofimo. And he's a comeback boxer, so, you know, he had had some controversy and some things that he had been through, so hats off to this young man. And then in the PGA, we had, they were in Scottsdale, Arizona, and it was for the Phoenix Open, and the tournament was on February the 8th through the 11th, and that purse was $8,800,000. Charlie Lindy Hoffman, he's a 47-year-old, again, heads out to California because he was born in San Diego, California. And he also attended the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. He won first place. Actually, he was tied in first place with Nick Taylor from Canada. But in the overall pick, when they do some kind of playoff score, he ended up being the first official winner. He's from the United States. Then we had Scott Scheffler and Burns. They were tied for third place, and then fifth place was Fagala. And so the next tournament after the Phoenix Open, well, we had the AT&T people Pebble Beach last week, which was in California. Then this week is Arizona. So thank God, like I said, for our sports, we really enjoy those. And then in the NBA, in the NBA, I'm waiting for my computer to come up. In the NBA on, let me get it back because the computer does what it wants. On Friday, the Hawks played, and this is the person I named. They were away, and they played in the home of the other player. So the Hawks over the 76ers, 127-121. The Wizards were at the Celtics, 133-129. The Rockets were at the Raptors, 107-104. The Hornets were at the Bucks, 120-84. The Nuggets were at the Kings, 135-106. The Pelicans were at the Lakers, and they beat them 139-122. And then
the
on
Lakers,
Saturday,
the Lakers beat
the Lakers lost to the Pelicans. at 1:39 to 1:22. And then on Saturday, Thunder was at the Mavericks in Dallas at 1:46 to 1:11. The Pistons beat the Clippers at home 1:12 to 1:06. The Spurs were at the Nets 1:23 to 1:03. The Grizzlies were at the Hornets 1:50 to 1:06. The Bulls were at the Magic 1:14 to 1:08. 76ers at the Wizards 1:19 to 1:13. The Rockets at the Hawks 1:22 to 1:13. Pacers at the Knicks 1:25-1:11. Cavaliers at the Raptors 1:19-95. The Suns were at the Warriors by 1 point, 1:13 to 1:12. And then again on Saturday, the Pelicans did play the Trailblazers. They beat them also 93-84. And then on Sunday,
On Sunday,
the Celtics were at the Heat, 110 to 106, and the Sacramento Kings were at the Thunder, and they beat the Thunder 127 to 113.
Go Sacramento!
So, we had Lala College basketball also. So on the college realm, it was so many games. You can go to sportednews.com and you can see every team in America that played on this weekend. I did get to see the feature of Gonzaga defeating Kentucky 89-84. That was one of the ones that was on TV at that time. This is my sports report, and have a blessed week.
All right, Cousin V. Hey, man. Well, that was a sports report, which I really enjoyed because even I just want to say shout out to Mahomes for, you know, not only being a quarterback, but being an African-American quarterback, making history that, you know, we need to continue to make history. And don't get me wrong, the 49ers quarterback, he was just as good, too, but Mahomes was better. And he did a good job, and so shout out and kudos to the Kansas City Chiefs and Mahomes. He deserves it. He has a good offense, a good defense, and he's a good quarterback. And he knows when to run, when not to run, and where to run. And then that last play just made the 49ers look like we don't know what we're doing. But it was a good game. It went into overtime. It was 19-19 for a long time, but then the final, you know, I think that the 49ers should have did more than a field goal. They should have made a touchdown, and that would have tied it up, and then they would have had to go into more overtime. But God saw different. Without further ado, it is time for Regulate the Manual with none other than
Clarence. Just before Clarence, come on. Justin Fields, they're thinking about dealing for him with the New England Patriots. So that's another black quarterback that's up and running.
Wait, who's going to be on the New England Patriots?
Justin Fields.
Really? And now, Justin Fields, who does he play for now?
They're looking at, let's see. The Patriots did for Justin Fields. They expect just two veteran signal callers, Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, to be on the move. So...
Yeah, well, Russell Wilson deserves it. I mean, after what they did to Russell Wilson on Denver, he deserves to go to a better team where someone appreciates his talent and his education.
Yeah.
And if this other quarterback goes to, you said, what team is he going to go to?
He came from Chicago and going to the New England Patriots.
And he's going to be the number one quarterback in New England?
Yes, they gonna send him to New England.
Oh, I can't wait to see this. Okay, well, without further ado,
every year
it's time for
right,
the commentary.
Your turn.
Clarence, get on there and set it on fire. It's time for the commentary. Clarence, please take the floor. Give us Regulate the Manual.
Yes, thank you, Patchetti. Thank you, Cousin V. Thank you, Dr. Granny V. Professor Reams. And Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, and the amazing pastor. I've been reading lately from a book that I believe that we all should probably get and read, because it teaches us a history of this life and world from a spectrum that we may not have read or heard or even known about. This is a book by Howard W. French. This book is entitled Born in Blackness, Africa, Africans, and the Making of the Modern World, 1471 to the Second World War. This chapter is The African Main. By the 1450s, according to Henry, which Henry was the Prince of England at this time, chronicler Cadamasto, the slave trading station built at Henry's behest in Argium, an island off the modern-day Meridian, was supplying 800 to 1,000 slaves a year to a burgeoning Portuguese market in Africans. As ridiculous as comparison to Alexander now sounds in terms of human capital, this amounted to an immense bounty for those times, and the ships began departing Portugal for Africa in large convoys to partake in the traffic. The rush to get in on the slavery business was such that even as the Bishop of Algrave outfitted a caravel to acquire slaves on the continent's coast, helping launch the Catholic Church's long history of profiting from African bondage. The early Luso-African encounters around slavery of the 1440s were purely constructed around coastal raiding. The Avis dynasty was built upon the foundations of a predatory military class, and at the heart of its young expansionary project lay one essential idea: war should always be made to pay for itself. Henry costly search down the coast of Africa for gold has so far yielded little of metal, much less the control over supply coveted, as the expense underpinned the drive for gold piled up. Other sources of income needed to be found in order to justify sustaining exploration. Framed at its simplest, gold had led the Portuguese to slaves. Slaves drove the expansion of a lucrative new industry, sugar, which would transform the world like few products have in history, and in doing so would also produce one of the world's greatest human tolls. While this decade was marked by a relative lull in expeditions, it should not be taken to suggest that nothing important was happening in terms of Portugal gold prospecting efforts, nor indeed in terms of giving shape to the building political project of Iberian imperialism or ideas about the race that would shape the Atlantic world for centuries. Quite the contrary. Along the coast of present-day Meridiana, the squires and other minor nobles who dominated the exploration business, and business it was, sent ashore small teams of men, often with a horse or two, and dressed in full armor to ensure local residents or sail into slavery, to the befuddlement and the certain terror of their victims. The raiders often charged toward their quarry, shouting, "Santiago," the name of the patron saint of Spain, but also honored by the Portuguese, who supposed miraculous apparitions in the moments of the conquest like these were believed to confer blessings on any crusading enterprise. It was in this manner that in 1441, the leader of one expedition, a man named Antonio Goncalves, skirmished with a man identified as a Moor who was walking with a camel, and then returned to the site at nightfall, where he captured a woman he described as a black Moorish. Some considered this woman of unknown name to have been the index case, or first victim in the information of a transatlantic slave trade center on dark-skinned Africans. This is not because she was sent to the Americas, of which, of course, was then still undiscovered, but because of the significance apparently attached to her faith, to her race, which from this point onward became increasingly important criterion of eligibility for enslavement among Europeans. I'm going to stop there. If you didn't catch that, you can only get this book, Born in Blackness, Africa, Africans, and the Making of the New World, 1471 to World War II, on Amazon. Howard W. French is the author. I just, you know, really encourage getting this book and just sharing it with your family, getting one for a loved one. This book has a wealth of history on how this part of the world was created. So thank you for listening. Thank you for allowing me to read. Pastor Eddie, to our panelists and all our wonderful listeners, have a wonderful week.
Let's give a big hand for Clarence. Now, what a show we have had for you today. What a informative, informational topic, subject matter, and discussions we have had, not only with our co-producers and our co-hosts, but also with our guest, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, and everyone on our board. We have enjoyed sharing and telling you pertinent, positive information that you probably would not have ever learned about Herbert Wigwe, the CEO of the biggest bank in Nigeria. You probably wouldn't have heard about that helicopter crash had I not brought it on the show, because the way that the news was twisting it is they're not even giving you any information that his wife died in that crash and his son died in that crash. They're not saying that. They're just saying he died in the crash. No, I'm telling you his wife died and his son, because they're not going to put it on there. He was not just a black man. He was a African-American African who was doing gigantic, enormous things, okay? And we need to pay tribute to him. Before I go, I want to let you know that I do not own the rights to this music. So Facebook, hear me loud and clear. I do not own the rights to this song at all. So don't cut me off. I want the people to hear these words. And it seems like sometimes they don't want you to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I'm not worried about Instagram, because they do that on Instagram, just on Facebook Live. But I want to play something for you, but I want to share something with you. First of all, dear God, please bless Cousin D and anybody with mental illness, and anybody that's going through anything in their life that they have no control over, Lord, whether they're looking for a job or they have a back pain or a foot pain or a headache or fighting cancer or leukemia or any kind of whatever it is, God, you know, you said in your word you'll fight our battles. So, Lord, no matter what somebody's going through, if it's a drug problem, an alcohol problem, food problem, whatever mountain it is, Lord, move their life. Father, you said in your word that you will fix us and that you'll rehabilitate us and restore us and rejuvenate us if we just come to you and ask you for whatever it is. If we have faith and believe that it is done, then it will be done. So God, whoever comes to you right now that's listening to this that needs this prayer, bless them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Bless my family and every family out there, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Can I get an amen from everybody on the show? Amen, 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 amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Now, I want to play this for you because I think it's very, very important. And I'm just going to tell you like this, and I'm going to be honest with you. First of all, let me tell you three things. First of all, the best is yet to come. Amen, Gloria. Thank you, Shepherdess Brown. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a show we have had. Our scripture of the week was Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7, because we are God's people, and he promised that he will take care of us and love us. So let's not forget. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then let me tell you, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Number two, the only limit in life is when you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. Hallelujah, praise God. And then Last but not least, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. Remember, God, the word of the week is organized. So organize your life, organize your mind, organize your body, organize your family, organize your kids, organize. And then the scripture is Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. Now, I want to let you know, the revolution will not be televised. Yes, there's a revolution coming. Please be ready. But the revolution, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, I'm telling you right now, it will not be televised. With that being said, this is a tribute to a black historian, a black musician, a black producer, a black writer for Black History Month, none other than the one and only Gil Scott Heron. So with that being said, let's go here and...
Are you there, Eddie? Eddie, are you there?
Wow.
Yeah, I
can hear you. Can you guys hear it? Because they can hear
we
it
don't
on Facebook and Instagram, but can you hear it, Vera?
Clarence? No music on Blog Talk.
I did not hear anything, Eddie, so perhaps can you do that again?
Okay. Okay. Well, if you can hear it on Facebook. Okay, let me go back to it. Okay, I just wanted you to hear a little bit of The Revolution Will Not Be Televised by Gil Scott Heron. If you never heard it before, I hope you have. Let's see. Oh, wow. Yeah, Shepherdess Brown. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Those are all the people that are on that album. How did you know? The revolution will not be televised. And I just wanted everybody to hear that. I want you to stay encouraged and know that the best is yet to come. Thank you so much, Shepherdess Brown. God bless you. God bless your voice and your singing. God bless your church and everybody in it. God bless everybody. I want you to know that the best is yet to come. And with that being said, I want to go ahead and pull this up. I'm so happy that everybody had a chance to join in. Heard on Facebook, not Blog Talk. That's okay. Blog Talk does that, and that's okay. But I'm glad you were able to hear it on Facebook. That the revolution, hallelujah, will not be televised. I'll be on. I have one announcement to make. Excuse me. Every Sunday at 6:30 p.m., the church, the sermon, with myself, Pastor Eddie Justice Jones, and we'll be there this Sunday coming up, the good Lord say so. So please join us. I promise to bring the word. I promise to keep it short and sweet, but I promise to drop on you information right from the word of God that can help us live in these very trying and challenging times. May God bless you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. All you say and do, may God bless you. Peace be with you.